Hearty greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of The Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Brazil, which is busy preparing to host the World Cup in June. We're now 76 days away to the kickoff of football's premier event, and questions remain about Brazil's readiness to stage the soccer jamboree. The Brazilians are still trying to put the finishing touches on some of the stadiums that will host matches across 12 different cities. Jerome Valca, the Secretary General of World Football's governing body, FIFA, met with the local organizing committee in Rio de Janeiro, where 7 matches will be played, including the final on July 13th. Valca, though, is more concerned about the venue south of Rio, Sao Paulo, which will host the opening match June 12th between Brazil and Croatia. Not only has the Sao Paulo Stadium missed repeated construction deadlines, a crane accident left 2 workers dead last November. Though the stadium is still not completely finished, Valca says there's no turning back, and Sao Paulo will stage the opening match no matter what.
When it's about taking legal action, we are not anymore there. I mean, we are in the process again to find solutions to make sure that I'm very transparent with you. You cannot move the opening game of the World Cup here to another stadium. It has to happen in Sao Paulo. There is no other choice. You have thousands of people who have bought their tickets. We have thousands. We have the FIFA Congress and 2,000 people coming from all around the world to attend the FIFA Congress. All our member associations will be at the opening game. You have head of stakes. You have a structure where the opening game of the 2014 FIFA World Cup in Brazil will happen in Sao Paulo. There is no other choice. And again, we have to work all together to make sure that it will happen. So legal action, I mean, we have enough legal action against FIFA and against all of us in Brazil. We don't need to initiate one ourselves.
Meanwhile, the most southern World Cup venue in Brazil, Porto Alegre, is also on Jerome Valca's mind. Porto Alegre was having some financial problems related to construction before passing a measure to finance the building of structures. Valca says there's still a lot of work to be done in Porto Alegre ahead of the World Cup.
What I will tell them is that, again, as it was said before, the main solution was found these last days, meaning that the financing of this overlay was approved and agreed. And it means that now we are working, as I said, with Porto Alegre. It's true that it's a big challenge, Porto Alegre. There's a lot of work to do. They have the inauguration of the stadium on the first week of April. They have close to 140,000 square meters of payment. In order to be ready, we need FIFA to make sure that the first 10,000 square meters are done as soon as it is best would be before the 15th of April or at the latest the 15th of April, that these 10,000 square meters, which will be used to put the containers for the TV compound, to make sure that we can have the optic fibers, that we can have all the cabling ready. So these are for us the priority for the next, let's say, 3 weeks. If this is done by then again, I mean, we will have the same issue than in Sao Paulo. It's a lack of time to test or to try all the installation we'll have in place. But again, there is a lot of work in Porto Alegre, and I would say, in a way, there is a lot more than in Sao Paulo.
That's FIFA Secretary General Jerome Valca speaking in Rio de Janeiro about Brazil's readiness to host the World Cup. And let's spur the Brazilians on now with some rumba samba music.
Rumba samba.
people over there. This is Sunny Side of Sports, and Danny Shoki telling you, when you feel good, me gonna enjoy this one, me gonna enjoy, me gonna enjoy more Sunny Side of Sports, Sunny Side of Sports.
In National Basketball Association news, the Philadelphia 76ers tied the league record with their 26th consecutive loss Thursday night. Philadelphia fell to the host Houston Rockets 120-98. Houston's all-star guard James Harden led the Rockets with his second career triple-double, that is, double figures in three different statistical categories. Harden tallied 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists in only three quarters of play in a fine all-around performance. With their latest loss, the 76ers matched the 2010-2011 Cleveland Cavaliers for the NBA's worst skid. And Philadelphia can set a new record for futility on Saturday night when they host the Detroit Pistons. Meanwhile, another all-star guard, Chris Paul of the Los Angeles Clippers, also had a big game Thursday night. Paul had 31 points and 9 assists as the Clippers rallied from a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter to beat the host Dallas Mavericks 109-103. The Clippers have won 9 of their past 10 games, and they have an overall record now of 51 wins and 22 losses. That's fourth best in the NBA. The San Antonio Spurs, winners of 15 games in a row, have the league's top mark at 55 victories and 16 defeats. The Oklahoma City Thunder is next with 52 wins and 19 losses, followed by the Indiana Pacers at 52 wins and 20 losses. The Pacers, by the way, are right here in Washington tonight to play my beloved Washington Wizards. With a record of 36 wins and 35 losses, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that the Wizards will earn their first playoff berth since 2008. Remember, VOA basketball fans, the top 8 clubs in the NBA's Eastern and Western conferences will qualify for the playoffs. The Wizards currently hold the number 6 position in the Eastern Conference, and they have 11 games left in the regular season. Playoff fever building here in Washington and in the NBA. In two other results from Thursday night, the visiting Portland Trailblazers clipped the wings of the Atlanta Hawks 100-85, and the host Milwaukee Bucks beat the Los Angeles Lakers 108-105. Now let's turn to college basketball here in the United States. The men's championship tournament is really heating up. 4 schools, Arizona, Florida, Wisconsin, and Dayton, advanced to the Elite Eight with victories Thursday night. Let's take a quick look at the scores. Top-seeded Arizona eliminated San Diego State of California 70-64. Another top seed, Florida, ousted UCLA 79-68. UCLA has won a record 11 national titles. And it's also the alma mater of my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, our Straight Talk Africa host. But Shaka did not want to talk about UCLA's loss on Thursday night. In more results, Wisconsin easily beat Baylor from Texas 69-52. And underdog Dayton from Ohio, being described now as the Cinderella team in the tournament, beat Stanford from California 82-72. There will be 4 more games later Friday night with teams trying to advance to the Elite Eight. 2 Michigan schools will both be on the court. Michigan State will play top-seeded Virginia, and the University of Michigan will take on Tennessee. Also, Connecticut will challenge Iowa State. And last but certainly not least, a matchup that has basketball fans in Kentucky very excited. The University of Kentucky, winners of 8 national titles, most recently in 2012, will play state rival and defending national champion Louisville, which has three national titles overall. By the end of Sunday's games, only four teams will remain in contention for the 2014 national crown, and those four teams will travel to Texas, where the Final Four will be held at AT&T Stadium near Dallas. The national title game is set for April 7th.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. VOA.
I encourage our VOA listeners with internet access to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is www.facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, www.facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
And let's wish a happy birthday now to one of my Facebook friends, Namdi Ifenu in Abuja, Nigeria. Happy birthday, Namdi. Turning to tennis, the world's top-ranked men's player, Rafa Nadal of Spain, is through to the semifinals at the Sony Open Hardcourt Tournament in Miami, Florida. Reporter Craig Gabriel is courtside in Miami.
Rafa Nadal will play Tomas Berdych in the semis. Under the lights, Nadal was put through a few paces by Milos Raonic, who won his first ever set against Nadal. Nadal had to fight hard for the 4-6, 6-2, 6-4 victory. That first set marked the first time at this event that Nadal had his serve broken. Berdych notched up his 450th career match win when he beat Alexander Dolgopolov in a match that had many highs as both men slugged it out and rifled some blinding shots that at times had both men smiling. Berdych scored a 6-4, 7-6 victory after saving set points in the second, and it was the fourth straight time he's beaten Dolgopolov, who's enjoyed a superb run the last 7 weeks. That win will put Berdych back into the top five of the rankings. Craig Gabriel for VOA Sports, Miami.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kHz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
I'm Shegu Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports, from the Africa Service of the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on!
This is for the world.
Game on, sports fans. Well, our African football guru, David Legg, gave us insights this week into both the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup club competitions. For our VOA listeners who missed David's soccer-licious analysis, well, not to worry. This evening, we bring it to you in its entirety. David kicks off with recent results in the Champions League. And remember, VOA football fans, the first club that David mentions was the home team.
Al Ahly of Benghazi, Libya, 1. Al Ahly of Egypt, the defending champions, 0. Real Bamako of Mali 1, Esperance of Tunisia 1, Siwe San Pedro of Ivory Coast 2, TP Mazembe of DR Congo 1, Horoya of Guinea 0, CS Faxian of Tunisia 1, Anton Satif of Algeria 1, Cotton Spore of Cameroon 0, AC Leopards of Congo 1, Al Hilal of Sudan 1, Vita Club of DR Congo 3, Kaiser Chiefs of South Africa 0, and Inkana of Zambia 0, Zamalek of Egypt 0. One result, Stunny, that sticks out among those eight is that big victory for Vita Club over Kaiser Chiefs. The fact that Vita won comes as no surprise to me, but the margin I found really surprising. I was not expecting Kaiser Chiefs, who've been in good form domestically and in Africa, to do better than losing by 3 goals. Interestingly, that match was played at the Tata Raphael Stadium in Kinshasa, and that, 40 years ago, was the venue for the Rumble in the Jungle. That was that famous heavyweight boxing bout in which the then undefeated George Foreman was knocked out in the 8th round by the one and only Muhammad Ali.
I am the greatest! This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you sign to fight him, increase your insurance. I am the greatest.
Well, if Muhammad Ali did a knockout then, Firmin Mubele did the knockout blows. He scored a hat-trick, 2 in the first half and the third just after halftime to floor Chiefs. Although 3-0 suggests a one-sided match, it was actually anything but. Chiefs had a lot of chances, but the culprit in chief when it came to wasting them was the Zimbabwean Knowledge Musona. The other DR Congo representatives, TP Mazembe, they'll be indebted to the Tanzanian Samata because he scored 60 seconds from full time, and that changed a 2-0 scoreline to 2-1, and the Congolese surely with home advantage will eliminate Siwe San Pedro from the Ivory Coast. There was also a defeat on the road for the defending champions Al Ahly, similar, Sunny, to the first round where they lost 1-0 away to young Africans. This time they lost 1-0 away to the Libyans Al Ahly Benghazi, a match incidentally played in Tunisia because of the security situation in Libya. And the only goal came from a Zimbabwean, Edward Sadomba, scoring after 67 minutes after the veteran Ahly defender Gama failed to cut out a knockdown from a long free kick. A better result for the other Egyptian representatives, Zamalek of Egypt. They've won the title 5 times, most recently in 2002. They traveled south to Zambia to play in Kana, and they forced a goalless draw. So the White Knights must be favored to win the return match this coming weekend. Good results on the road for the two Tunisian teams in West Africa. Esperance went to Real Bamako of Mali, who had knocked out Enyimba of Nigeria in the previous round, and they forced a 1-1 draw. Djouini, after 27 minutes, gave the Tunisian Blood and Gold the lead, and Doumbia, 12 minutes from time, levelled. An even better result for CS Faxian. They went to Horoya of Guinea, the conquerors in the previous round of the mighty Raja Casablanca of Morocco. And the North Africans came away with a 1-0 victory, courtesy of a goal from Ben Youssef on the hour mark. A North African team that also won were Anton Satif of Algeria, 1-0 at home to Cotton Spore of Cameroon. Bella Miri, after 45 minutes from close range, scoring the only goal of that tie. AC Leopards of Congo Brazzaville, who were the first team from that country to reach the group stage when they qualified last year, they're in a spot of bother because they were held 1-1 at home by Al Hilal of Sudan. El Taib, after 22 minutes, gave the Omdurman club the lead, and Ndey equalized on the stroke of halftime. So an interesting situation, Sonny. And what was, however, disappointing was that only 13 goals were scored in those 8 games. That's just over 1.5 goals a game. That's a pretty low average. But on the other hand, it sets up some intriguing return matches. And Kaiser Chiefs of South Africa, they've got a mountain to climb. At the very least, they have to score 3 unanswered goals at home against Vita in Soweto. That would take the tie to a penalty shootout. However, if Vita score 1 goal in the return match, Chiefs would have to score 5. Now, scoring 3 is perhaps mission improbable, but scoring 5, that would be mission impossible.
David, let's turn now to the Confederation Cup tournament. And first, how about the results?
The results indeed, Sonny, and even fewer goals here. Only 10 goals in 8 matches. Defenders very much on top. Etoile Sahel of Tunisia 1, Supersport United of South Africa 0. AS Kigali of Rwanda 1, El Jadida of Morocco 0. Mediama of Ghana 2, Zesco United of Zambia 0. Haumine of Zimbabwe 2, Bayelsa United of Nigeria 1. CS Constantine of Algeria 1, ASEC Mimosas of Ivory Coast 0. Ishmaelia of Egypt 0, Petro Atletico of Angola 0. Wadi Degla of Egypt 2, Djoliba of Mali 0. And Wari Wolves of Nigeria 0, CA Bezerton of Tunisia 0. The return matches, as is the case with the Champions League, to come in the upcoming weekend. Now, Etoile Sahel, the only African club to have won all 5 CAF competitions. They built a 1-0 home lead over Supersport United from South Africa, with Brigai scoring after just 8 minutes. Similar score for Kigali against El Jadida, with the Rwandans edging the Moroccans through a goal from Naizon Zima after 67 minutes. Mediama are making quite a splash in their first year of African competition, the Ghanaians finishing 2-0 home winners over Zesco United from Zambia, through goals from Asamoah after 9 minutes and Hel Egbi, who converted a penalty 12 minutes from time. Haumine of Zimbabwe, they're in many senses the Cinderella team of this cup competition. They were promoted to Zimbabwe top flight football only last year and got into the Confederation Cup because they finished runners-up in the local cup competition to Highlanders, but Highlanders are barred from Africa, so Haumine got their chance. They had big wins in the previous 2 rounds, but this time much tougher opposition in Bayelsa United from Nigeria, who actually took the lead just after halftime through a goal from Bernard Okoro-Wanta. And they held that lead until the hour mark when Kadzola equalized for Haumine. And then 3 minutes into stoppage time, a penalty to the Zimbabweans, Mupera converted it, so Haumine will take a narrow 2-1 lead to southeastern Nigeria. A penalty settled the match between Constantine of Algeria and ASEC of Ivory Coast. Samer, after 18 minutes, scoring for the home side. Ishmaelia, they've played 3 matches now. They haven't scored a single goal. It's an injury-ravaged side. Their coach, Ricardo Heron from Brazil, could call on only 1 striker for the game against Petro Atletico. And unfortunately, no goals for the Egyptians. So they clearly now are in trouble, with the return match in Luanda to come. There were goals, however, from Wadi Degla, an Egyptian club, also making their first appearance in the Confederation Cup. They scored early in the second half, and then an own goal in stoppage time doubled their lead, 2-0 home winners over Djoliba of Mali. Now, Wari Wolves of Nigeria, twice before they've competed in the Confederation Cup, and on each occasion they've gone out in the second round. And sadly, it looks like they're in trouble again after being held 0-0 at home by FA Bezerten of Tunisia. Bezerten reached the semi-finals last year, largely due to a superb defence. And this time round, it was their goalkeeper and captain, Ben Mustafa, who was the man of the match. He made a series of outstanding saves, and one in particular stood out. Midway through the second half, Ike Tankgaard, defender from the Wari Wolves, sent a header that seemed destined to find a net. But the outstretched hand of Mustafa pushed the ball around the post for a corner. And given that result, you would have to say Bezerten now have got the advantage going into those return matches. A reminder again, Sonny, the second legs of both the Champions League and the Confederation Cup second round matches will be on March 28, 29 and 30. And just to briefly explain what happens after that, the eight winners from the Champions League, they will be drawn into two groups for the mini league phase of the competition. And of course, that's where all that lucrative money kicks in. There's no prize money before the group phase, but once you get to the group phase, you're guaranteed a minimum of $400,000. And in African football terms, that's an awful lot of money. Now, the losers of the Champions League second round matches, they go out of that competition, but they drop down to the CAF Confederation Cup, where they will be involved in playoffs against the winners of the second round matches in the Confederation Cup. So similar situation to Europe, where in the Europa League, often the losers from the Champions League drop down. Same situation, Sonny, in Africa. So, for example, Kaizer Chiefs, if they're eliminated by Vita, which seems likely, they still have a chance of African glory because they will go into a playoff against one of the eight winners from the Confederations Cup. And the winners of those playoffs, they go into the group phase in a chase for their first prize of $660,000.
Some good financial incentive there, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. More football news now. The Gunners of Arsenal are going to make a trip here to the United States later this year to play a preseason exhibition match against the New York Red Bulls of Major League Soccer. This will be the first time the Gunners have played here in the USA in 25 years. The Red Bulls, by the way, feature former Gunners star Thierry Henry. The match is set for July 26th. That's about 2 weeks after the World Cup, and it will be played at Red Bull Arena in the New York City area. Also, UEFA's 54 member countries have voted to create a Nations League football competition to kick off in September 2018. The competition will replace most continental international friendlies and feed into qualifying playoffs for the 2020 European Football Championship. Finally, in African athletics, Eritrea's Zerzinai Tedessa goes after a record-extending sixth title Saturday at the IAAF World Half Marathon Championships in Copenhagen, Denmark. Zerzinai says he's prepared well, but he knows the Kenyans will mount a strong challenge in the race. One of the Kenyans who will be on the starting line in Copenhagen is Wilson Kiprop, who won the title in 2010. Should be a great race on Saturday in Copenhagen. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Rashad Smith for his technical support of the program. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.